Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 After. Thank you for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. And if you want to ask a question or make a comment, either one of those, here's how you do it. Just go to your little email client there and open up a new file and type in Ask Jim at jbsba.com, and I'll take the nice comments, the questions, or if you have some criticism, just try to keep it nice. Sometimes I have mixed company reading my email, so if you have something you want to say, there it is. Jack Ulrich is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. You met Jack a while back, and Jack is the author of Leadership Lessons from Lewis and Clark Expedition. The title of the book is Into the Unknown, which is about the leadership lessons that from Lewis and Clark's expedition as they claimed the western part of the United States. And that was a while back, a few weeks ago, and we really enjoyed that visit. But in his day job, Jack is the president of Nano Veritas Group, which is a consultancy that focuses on helping businesses, venture capitalists, and governments understand and profit from nanotechnology. And he's got another book out, which has been out for about a year now. It's a cool little book. It's called The Next Big Thing is Really Small. Jack Ulrich, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And, you know, I've had a lot of authors on this show. I've had many of them who joined me with more than one book. And I've had them to talk about books that they've written that were a little divergent one from the other. Mm-hmm. But I believe that Lewis and Clark on one visit and nanotechnology on the next visit, I got to say, this is a record.
Well, I think you're probably right. But, you know, as I said in my last interview, you know, in my mind, the two are linked because nanotechnology is going to change our future so much that today's business leaders, particularly small business leaders, are going out into the unknown. And that's how I sort of, and that's exactly what Lewis and Clark did. So.
Well, one
That's
of the
how
things.
I made the leap.
One of the things that another area that that there's some similarity is that that people were saying what Lewis and Clark wanted to do, what they proposed to do, was impossible. People weren't betting on them, were they?
No, that's right. They said
they were betting
impossible.
Against them, weren't they?
Yeah, they really were, and they said you know, many people said, you know, it was a fruitless expedition. It was a waste of money. That they would never succeed. And you hear a lot of those same critiques about people who are trying to or are working in the field of nanotechnology, that their technology is never going to work. It's sort of a futuristic technology. It's all about Star Trek stuff. Nothing could be further from the truth. This stuff is real. It's coming at us faster than most people realize, and it's going to affect virtually every industry, you know, within the next in most cases, it's already affecting industries, but certainly within the decade, every industry will be affected by it.
Well, let's talk about nanotech. Let's talk about the definition of it. Tell us, some people may not really, you know, most of us have heard the term, but we probably don't really know what it is. So we need some nomenclature here. Give us the definition.
Sure. There are two definitions. The first one is the manipulation of matter at the atomic and molecular level. Sort of sounds complicated, but I ask your listeners to think of a lump of coal and a diamond. They're both made out of the exact same thing, carbon atoms. But how those atoms are arranged matters greatly. And man is now at the point. In fact, there are two companies who are now synthetically manufacturing 2-carat diamonds for about $5.
Right.
That's sort of a perfect example of what we mean by manipulating matter. The second definition is a nanometer is really tiny. It's 1/1 billionth. Of a meter. But when you think about it, the human body operates at the nanoscale. And so the fact that we're now making things that small, we're going to be able to derive and build a number of devices that are going to revolutionize the entire healthcare field.
There, so nano basically means 1/1,000,000th, doesn't it?
That's right. Yep.
And so when we talk about something a nanosecond, we're talking about 1/1,000,000th of a second, right?
That's right.
Because I mean, I use that. I do that. Use that term. I mean. Who was it? Was it Mork that came up with that?
That's right.
Remember Mork and Mindy? He talked about nanos and things like that. But and so we use that loosely. I do that. I'm guilty of that. But the truth is it has a measurement. It has a value, and it's very, very small. And folks, here's a couple of quotes that I want to read to you. We're going to go to a break. Here are a couple of quotes out of Jack's book. I will read to you, and then when we come back. Jack's going to tell you who said them. There is in the world maybe a need and a market for 5 computers. One person said that, and here's another person said this. There is not the slightest indication that nuclear energy will ever be obtainable. When we come back, Jack's going to tell us who said those two things. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our friend Jack Oldrich, the author of The Next Big Thing is Really Small, How Nanotechnology Will Change the Future of Your Business. Jack, I gave 2 quotes out before we went to the break, and I'm going to read them again, and we'll let the audience has been thinking about it, and we'll let you tell us who said this. Now, folks, here's the second quote. There's not the slightest indication that nuclear energy will ever be obtainable. Who said that, Jack?
That was said by Albert Einstein himself in 1933.
Think about that. Years,
yep.
the man said that about his own product, about his own work. All right, here's another one, and this is the other one I read, and this one's going to surprise you too. There is a world market for maybe 5 computers. Who said that, Jack?
That was said by Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM.
the computer folks, well, I mean, this was, tell him when he said that, though.
He said that in 1943.
43. So, you know, their perspectives, these were the guys who had the goods, but their perspectives were what was limited at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I used those quotes in the book because there are people who are saying because of nanotechnology, we're going to see these 4 things: computers 1,000,000 times more powerful than we have today, a data storage device the size of a sugar cube that can contain 250 million books, hundreds of cancer-curing devices.
Say that. Now, wait a minute. The size, something. What was it? The size of a sugar cube?
A data storage device.
Yeah. The size of a sugar cube.
Yeah.
They could store
250 million books, or the equivalent of the Library of Congress.
Now, those of you who are shaking your head and saying you don't think that's going to happen, remember what Mr. Einstein and Mr. Watson said. And here's another quote from your book, Jack. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Arthur Clarke said that he's the author of 2001: A Space Odyssey. Is that the kind of thing that you're getting with people when they talk about when they learn about nanotechnology? Are they feeling like maybe you're talking to them about magic?
They really are, and they think that I'm talking about science fiction, and they think that I'm talking about things that are 100 years off. We're seeing exponential growth, and a lot of these technologies are either coming to the market within the next few years or will certainly be here within the next decade. So,
is anything in the market right now, is there any mainstream nanotechnology available right now?
Yeah, you know, there's a perfect example. There's a small company called Nanotex who's now putting nanofibers in clothing. And what the nanofibers do is it allows coffee, red wine, other things to just sort of spill off the pants.
Huh.
And my point in the book about talking about this technology is to say, if you're in the dry cleaning industry, you're going to be adversely affected by that technology because fewer and fewer people are going to be using your product. Same thing in the automobile industry. There are new nanocomposites that are super light, scratch-resistant, dent-resistant. So, again, for people who are in the automotive repair industry, they're going to start feeling the effects of nanotechnology.
And this is not something that's going to happen 6 months from now as much as it is. In terms of a major impact, As much this is long-term planning you're talking about, right?
Yeah, but some of these things are already here today. But yeah, I mean, I think that there's still time for a lot of businesses to start preparing for nanotechnology. The flip side is there are a host of new nanomaterials that I think that people can be using in their products today to either make them stronger, lighter, better, more conductive. You know, whatever properties they need, nanotechnology might be able to make existing products significantly better, and that's why people have to know about it today.
What is the thing that you see happening in the next, say, 3 years to 5 years? What is the development or the introduction of something in the next 3 to 5 years that you think will make people go, wow? Give us an example.
There are two. The first one is nanotechnology is finally going to make solar cells and fuel cells both inexpensive and very effective. In fact, there's a company out in California called Nanosys who is developing flexible solar cells. So they're going to print them out like wallpaper. And so what this is going to allow people to do is homeowners can start wrapping their roofs in solar cells, and that'll free them from, you know, their local co-op or whatever energy provider they use.
And also prevent them from having the big ugly panels on their roof.
Yeah, that's right. You know, small business owners will start being able to, rid themselves of one monthly bill of paying, you know, their electricity. That's going to be out by 2007. There's also the medical device industry. So any of your listeners who are working in the medical field, there are a host of technologies coming out that are going to be really disruptive, that are going to essentially prevent a lot of disease from occurring before it ever happens. So any company who's making money treating disease after it has occurred, we're going to start preventing a lot of disease before it ever happens, and people have to revisit their business models under that new paradigm.
Well, one of the things that we've reported on in the past is having the value or the identification of products like clothing woven into the fabric, as you were talking about. You were talking about that, and from a standpoint of checking out at the checkout counter, or just identifying the thing in it later for whatever, for forensic reasons or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. That's a really good point there.
And I want you to hold on to that thought, because when we come back, you're going to talk to us about how nanotechnology is going to affect small businesses, how we can benefit from it, and also how it might be a threat to us. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Jack Oldrich, the author of The Next Big Thing Is Really Small. Everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Jack Oldrich, the author of The Next Big Thing Is Really Small, How Nanotechnology Will Change the Future of Your Business. Also, while you're picking up this book, pick up his Into the Unknown book, which is also, that's the newer one, isn't it, Jack?
That is, yep.
That's the one that's just out. It's the Leadership Lessons from Lewis and Clark's Daring Westward Expedition. And we're going to get you back on and show another day and talk about some more of those leadership lessons. Jack, one of the things that we've been talking about in the past, primarily done it with my friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, who's going to be on the next hour. One of the things Kiplinger has done is to try to talk about things like nanotechnology and to focus this into the future a little bit. And isn't nanotechnology going to contribute to being able to just put all your food in a basket and walk out the door, and it basically checks you out?
It is, and you know, you'd mentioned that before the break. A lot of people might be familiar with RFID, tags that people like Walmart and Target or others are starting to experiment with.
Radio frequency ID. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The point is nanotechnology is going to enable those devices to get even smaller, even better, and even cheaper.
And
so
faster.
While today they're only on pallets because they're fairly expensive, you know, in the not-too-distant future, they're going to be web or embedded in almost any device because they're going to be so cheap. And that's where they're really going to start having value. And I think for a lot of your listeners, you might think, or small business people might think, well, that's only the domain of the big companies. Not so. You're going to have to understand how those products can really work to your advantage and how you can find niches to keep your business growing and sustainable into the future.
Well, the first thing that's going to happen for small businesses is, you know, we don't just sell to consumers, we sell to big companies. Mm-hmm. We're vendors and vendor partners for big companies, and more of them are going to start saying, okay, the next order we get from you needs to have this nanotechnology, serial number identification capability to enable it to work with our RFID, the radio frequency ID. And if you aren't prepared to provide that, then you're not going to be able to do business with these guys, because they literally won't have another way of getting your stuff into their warehouse.
That's right. You know, and you raise an excellent point. I just went and checked the websites of this country's top 30 companies. 20 of them already mentioned nanotechnology right on their homepage.
Wow.
Essentially. So these companies are dealing with it. Hewlett Packard is running a commercial touting nanotechnology. And so to the extent that, you know, your listeners are working with those companies, if they're working in it, you have to at least know about it, and then today and then in the future be getting involved in it yourself.
So, well, let me give you an example of a precursor of what we're talking about, Jack. About 4 years ago, the automobile industry, the big three in the United States, sent out a notice to their vendors, to their suppliers, that within the next 24 months we will be doing 40% of our procurement online. Now, I don't know where they are now. Maybe they're at 100%, but 4 years ago they were telling people that 2 years later that 40% was going to be online. And so if you had been resisting making your products available that way, you know, you had a lot of catching up to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they told their vendors they had to be able to demonstrate how they were doing along the, you know, in that progress. And
yeah.
So don't wait for that letter to come to you and then tell you that you got to be, you know, nano capable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think the thing that people have to know right now is that nanotechnology is already affecting the material science field. So if you're in the plastic, steel, glass industry or manufacture a product with any of those, you know, people are going to be looking to you to make sure that you have state-of-the-art materials that are, you know, super light, super strong, meet the requirements that the manufacturers or the consumers need.
Jack, let me stop you for a second, because we're coming up on the end of the visit, but
sure.
I want to make sure we get your website in here. Give us your website, please, at your company.
It's nanoveritas.com, and that's N-A-N-O, and the Greek word veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S.com.
Can they find out more about your books there?
They can. Yep,
and they can also find your books anywhere, wherever books are sold, right?
That's right.
All right. And check that out. Are there some articles and things like that up on your website about nanotechnology?
There are, and there are a couple of, I have a couple of links to other really great websites that follow daily advances in nanotechnology.
Nanoveritas.com. Thanks, Jack, for being here. Let's get you back another day.
Thanks for having me again, Jim.
See you later, Jack.
Bye.
Gotta go. I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.